You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent report called State of the City examines Auckland City in a global context, comparing it to developed cities in other countries. The report draws both comparisons and highlights potential areas of improvement for the city. The report was commissioned by the Committee for Auckland in partnership with Deloitte and Auckland Council's economic and cultural agency Tataki Auckland Unlimited. I spoke with Greater Auckland editor Matt Lowry to find out more about the findings in the report. I started by asking Matt how he viewed Auckland prior to reading the report.
I think Auckland has always done really well in its natural environment. So we have one of the best settings for a city in the world. That is, you know, we've got a fantastic harbour, we've got the Hauraki Gulf, we've got the Waitakere Ranges, we've got fantastic beaches. But what that means is that often when we think about how our city is designed, we've let the built environment suffer or not be as live up to its expectations. And other cities, particularly those that are more inland, you know, on rivers, for example, have to do a lot more to make their cities attractive and look fantastic. You know, those are many of the cities that we admire the most when we travel around because they're built in places that are that require them to make them fantastic cities to be in rather than just relying or falling back on their natural environment to support themselves.
Did you learn anything new from the report or did you know it already?
Well, I think that we've known this already for a long time and we've seen many of these kinds of reports in the past looking at that ranked cities and often that the area that Auckland falls down on is its infrastructure and its built environment. And so if we really want to make Auckland succeed, we have to make the city actually a city and you know, have some, build better infrastructure. We need to have more options for people and have a denser, more interesting city to live in.
I saw you wrote an article about National's transport plan. Is that anything new in that plan or is it par for the course?
Well, it is par for the course. And a lot of it is rehashing old plans that have been, you know, cancelled or discredited. And so it's really about focusing, National's plan is about focusing on putting a lot of roads and what actually Aucklanders have said they want and what we need to succeed in terms of our standings compared to other cities is we really need good quality public transport options and good quality walking and cycling options so that people actually have a choice about how they get around so they're not having to be stuck in traffic. One of the problems with building more roads is it actually creates more congestion and it means that there's more people stuck behind the wheel, that more people have no option but to drive and people get very frustrated at having to do that a lot of the time. And so there are a lot of people out there who would quite happily choose to use public transport if they had the option available to them that was a real, you know, that would get them to where they wanted to go in a realistic time frames. And we see that where we've invested in public transport and walking and cycling, people have flocked to use it in large numbers. And if we roll that out to more places in Auckland, we would see similar outcomes. And that's the same sort of outcomes we see in every other city around the world.
How does Auckland's transport system compare to other modern cities?
Well, like I think many sort of more modern, you know, newer cities, and particularly in the Anglosphere, so you know, Canada, the US, Australia, Auckland relied heavily on building roads to address movement. And what we see is that the outcome of that is a lot of congestion, a lot of emissions that come from cars because we have a very high number of cars on the road. And it means that we're often, you know, while that can be quick at some times, it can also be really unreliable at times. You know, a single crash can cause sometimes the entire motorway network or the entire road network to grind to a halt. So we become incredibly reliant on that one mode of getting around, which means that without the options, we get stuck in traffic and we get stuck in buses get stuck because there's not the reliability for them to get around those issues either.
Now, you've already touched on this, but what does Auckland need to do to improve its livability, in your view?
Well, I think we need a much stronger focus on getting public transport working well, and that means getting it reliable and free from traffic. So that means more bus lanes, more light rail, particularly on the surface, rather than spending lots of money on tunnels. It means more frequency, more coverage, so going to more places, so that you've got better options for how you get around. So we need a lot of investment there. We need a lot of investment in making it just easy and safe to cycle. A lot of people would be really happy to cycle around the city or walk around the city and around the region if it was safe to do so. And in many places where we've built that, like things like the Northwestern Cycleway and some of the cycleways around the city, we've seen huge growth in people using them. But most people just don't or can't, either can't get to it safely, and so they don't want to ride, or they can't get to where they want to go right safely. So getting that safety in place is actually really critical. And that some of that will require some tough conversations about how we use our road space.
How well does the government work with the council to deliver projects? Do you have any insight into this?
I think very poorly. What we see is the government have their views as to what it should be, and they sort of dictate down to the council. That's something that we have a lot of problems with, because we see outcomes like we're seeing with both major parties sort of presenting these big plans from above of what we're going to do to build Auckland, and often without a lot of Auckland involvement in some of these. And so the government have a role to play, and there are areas where they need to be involved more and areas where they need to be involved less and letting Auckland get on with it. I think what the focus should be is on how the government can enable Auckland Transport to deliver more things. And that means Auckland Transport has been pretty poor at delivering outcomes for Aucklanders. They're very slow, it's taken a long time, and often at a very high cost to do it. The government should be focusing on how they can get Auckland Transport working better, and that's also for Auckland's challenge as well. And then pushing more of that decision making onto Auckland, rather than sort of coming in and dropping this infrastructure from above effectively.
Finally, are there any new projects in Auckland that you're excited about?
There are a lot of projects I'm excited about, but none that are probably necessary on the agenda right now. There's a lot of opportunity for Auckland to do really, really well, and that could be rolling out light rail on the surface rather than the current plans, walking and cycling connections. There are some really exciting things that we could be doing in these spaces, and it would actually really help and how people get around. And I think the big things that sort of really quick wins that we could see is really improving, for example, bus priority. Where bus lanes exist, they're fantastic, but they often don't run long enough or they stop at intersections and buses get caught up in those locations. So things like that could be really, while they're unsexy sometimes, they could be really powerful in helping really change how Aucklanders get around and making public transport much more reliable.
That was Greater Auckland editor Matt Lowry on the State of the City report.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.